UnregularRadio.com.
UnregularRadio.com.
A 24/7 online stream of everything Regular Radio doesn't offer.
Also, without that wagging finger of corporate or Big Brother, this is Radio Unleashed. UnregularRadio.com.
You're listening to Unregular Radio. The following program is mature content intended for adults only. The views, opinions, and thoughts expressed here are not necessarily those of Unregular Radio, its staff, or its affiliates. Furthermore, do not attempt to recreate any of the situations described, as it may prove physically, legally, or financially harmful. And as always, thank you for listening to Unregular Radio.
Hello, welcome to Three Strange Women on UnregularRadio.com. I'm your host, Miss Jackie, brought to you today on the 4th of July in Boston. I've got my two co-hosts right here with me as well.
I'm X-Rock, and I just got back from Firefly, enjoying this wonderful, wonderful, beautiful day here in Boston.
She is still covered in mud and glitter.
It's
pretty fantastic.
I am. I put on clothes, surprisingly.
Yes, well done. We know that you've forgotten that step in the past before leaving the house.
Mm-hmm. Many, many times. I mean, I drove naked back.
Interesting. Well, you're very lucky you didn't get pulled over.
Oh, I mean, I think it would have been all right.
That sounds like a great way to get out of a parking ticket or a
speeding ticket. Officer, I swear I didn't know I was speeding. I just had to go get some clean underwear.
Probably.
So, yeah. Welcome.
So, to celebrate the 4th of July, we're going to talk about the most recent political thing going on a national level with Obama's address to the people of New York and the nation of what's going on in the GLBT world.
It's pretty, I think we've made a lot of progress, even over the past just like 2.5 years, as far as equality.
We certainly have, but it's a very slow process, and that's frustrating to a lot of people. I mean, I think that, you know, Obama was elected to office, and that was a wonderful, marvelous thing, but everyone just sort of expects him to wave a magic wand and make everything go away, and that's not how government works.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, the country is split on the issue, and I mean, although Obama does represent the blue side of things, if you will, he can't just only appease the blue people. He has to appeal to everyone, whether it's straight squares or our more colorful brothers and sisters.
Yes, that's certainly true. You know, when he made this press conference, we were all talking about, well, why doesn't he just say, yes, I'm for marriage equality. Yes, absolutely, it's the right thing to do. And I know that that frustrates a lot of people. And I would sort of like to hope that he can't say it outright without, you know, it has to do with alienating 50% of the country. And we need to sort of work to change people's minds on a state level. That's his strategy, to go state by state, rather than doing any sort of legislation that would affect the entire country's policy.
I like that he likes to kind of identify it as something kind of like the discrimination of African Americans. He's thinking of it like that. Like he said.
Well, he's associating minorities and making loose comparisons that seem to work.
Exactly, and I think that that's a good selling point for him. Especially him being the first African-American president, you know, he said in the video that he was not one to tell anybody to be patient because mm-hmm. he knows that equality is not something that you're supposed to be patient for. Like, you are a human. You have equal rights. Because you're interested in someone doesn't, you know, of the same sex doesn't make you any less human than anybody who's African-American, purple, green, pinkish.
Glittery,
yeah.
I think it's pretty clear that he was personally very happy about what happened in New York and that he is definitely on our side. in terms of granting us the equality that we all deserve. I just think that his hands are sort of tied right now.
I mean, he's doing lots of things, and I mean, yes, he is for it, but I mean, he does have other agendas, and some of them involve, you know, life or death, so it needs to be discussed. Speaking of life and death, Jackie was telling me earlier about this wonderful story involving the military and someone wanting to see their partner.
Yes. When you want to, if you're in the military and if you have a partner, at one point, it's not okay for your partner to, if you die in service, you know, an honorable discharge and whatever, your partner is not allowed to escort your body if you're gay or was not. And I think that that's a little much. Like, what if, like, Obama was touched by the story of a military person who couldn't stay with their dying partner in the hospital because the hospitals were treating them differently for being gay.
It's also not just to the military specifically, but in states that don't have gay marriage, oftentimes, sometimes even if they have civil unions, the partner of a dying or sick person can't visit them in the hospital because they're not technically a spouse.
And they're not technically next of kin.
Definitely. So. And sometimes parents or the family won't agree with it. Also, if they have children, they can't come as well because it's like, who are these children? Who do they belong to? And there's just a very weird legal area that leaves a lot of gray matter to discuss.
I think it's good, though. Obama wants to, you know, get that out of the way. That's the first step, is to just let people understand that that's somebody you love. Whether they're dying or not, they're in the hospital, they need support. Who are any of those people to say you can't have your loved one next to you in the hospital as you die? I'm sorry.
I think that these are really important stories to tell as well, because they humanize what is a very polarizing issue in this country. You can spend hours arguing back and forth with a hardcore Republican about gay rights, but at the core, everybody is human. And if you put that spin on it, you know, what if that were your lover dying in the hospital and you weren't allowed to be next to him or her? Seriously, how would you feel?
You'd be heartbroken. It's for someone's last wish to have their partner and family member with them. That's pretty heartbreaking.
Absolutely. I mean, from both sides. And I mean, there's so many different situations that it can be manipulated as. And I mean, I think it's extremely important to humanize it and to go, you know what, that could be me. That could be my best friend. And through empathy, we can make progress through hope and happiness.
Yeah. I enjoy that Barack Obama is keeping a pretty light little sense of humor about it, too. Like, in his speech, he said a few things that, like, led for a chuckle.
And I mean, he's funny.
I appreciate that a lot, because a lot of our leaders in the government are pretty stiff and not...
They're like robots.
Yeah, you know? I'm not into that. I don't know. But Obama, I like that he's very charismatic and leaves time for giggles and stuff like that. Like,
he definitely does. I mean, when he finally got his birth certificate, I mean, there was a whole parody that he did addressing the state, and it was phenomenal. I mean, he's definitely a comedian. He has a good sense of humor, which is important to have when you're fighting really tough issues like this.
The man can talk. I like that about him.
I mean, he is considered one of the most charismatic presidents we've had, so keep up the good vibes, Obama.
For real.
Well, God knows it's a tremendous relief to have a leader of this country who doesn't sound like he has a dick in his mouth every time he fucking opens it. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I mean, he could, though.
No, he's good for now. He's not doing anything that I don't approve of yet. I don't know much of what he does either, but, you know.
Well, a lot of people are actually disappointed with the job that he's doing, and I think that those people, again, like I said, are looking for instant resolutions to enormous fucking problems that it took 8 years to dig us into. these things take time. He has like 8 years worth of enormous mess to clean up. And people are, you know, people think that he's like super Jesus and he's going to make everything go away right away. And that's just not going to happen.
That's too much of an expectation.
I mean, he's not a king. And this is in some type of monastic society.
Exactly.
He doesn't make all the choices. I mean, he can try his best. But here's the thing. If he wanted to do something and he is a politician. But if he's playing by the rule book and not lying, he has to go through committees. He has to go through representatives. People do have to vote, even though, I mean,
that's the wonder of a democracy.
I mean, this isn't a democracy, but I won't touch on that. I mean, I'm a dirty socialist, and I mean,
as far as the country goes and being, you know, run and safe and deciding on what we've got going on, as far as people putting in the votes, that's what matters.
I mean, Sweden has had a very, very phenomenal gay president for a while.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I mean, they giggle at Americans. They're like, oh, gay rights? That was totally 30 years ago. Whatever. And they're like, we've completely moved on. We're going to, you know, legalize cannabis. Everyone's taken care of. Socialism. But, you know, I digress.
I enjoyed that. I think we're going to get ready to take a little break in a couple of seconds. But when we come back, we'll talk a little more about that speech and then see what else we got planned for you. Stay tuned on unregularradio.com. I'm your host, Miss Jackie, and this is Three Strange Women.
I don't speak German, but I can if you like.
Ich liebe auch zu be clear. Ich glaube, wir Mandre Monster. Alles wie Angemik flagen, wie Gon wie ausgebaut wer. Ich liebe auch zu be clear. Ich glaube, wir Oster Monster. Alles wie Angemik flagen, Fräulein, wie ich be clear. Ich liebe auch zu be clear. Ich glaube, wir Mandre Monster. Alles wie Angemik flagen, wie Gon wie ausgebaut wer. Ich liebe auch zu be clear. Ich glaube, wir Oster Monster. Alles wie Angemik flagen, Fräulein, wie ich be clear. Ich bin auch zu viel klar, es kommt in Malte Monster. Alles wie Angelik flagen, wie Gott wie uns gebaut wär. Ich bin auch zu viel klar, es kommt in Malte Monster. Alles wie Angelik flagen, Fräulein, wie schon wie klar.
I'll take you out tonight, so whatever you like. Scheiße, scheiße, be mine, scheiße, be mine. Put on a show tonight, do whatever you like. Scheiße, scheiße, be mine, scheiße, be mine.
When I'm on a mission, I rebuke my condition. If you're a strong female, you don't need permission.
Tries to be mine, bullshit be mine. Blonde high heels, feminist, and let things fall for this. Express your womankind, fight for your right.
When I'm on a mission, I rebuke my condition. If you're a strong female, you don't need permission.
Later.
Radio Unleashed on regularradio.com.
Welcome back to Three Strange Women on unregularradio.com. This is your host, Miss Jackie, joined by X-Rock and Lady K here in the studio.
Ow! What's up?
Hey.
So, I have one more story I'd like to touch upon based, like, military, given 4th of July, you know, stuff going on. There was a service member from Minnesota. His name was Andrew Wilfords. He died in Afghanistan on Sunday, February 27th at 11:48 a.m. He was in Afghanistan, and there were three bombs tied together that were supposed to all blow up, and only one blew up, and it got him. But his partners were, you know, okay, so they took him back. But
his partners or the other troop people?
The other troop. His band of brothers had to come and, you know.
That sounds like a bear thing.
Kind of, yeah.
The military is a little guy.
A bit, yeah. But I found his story very touching. This man, Andrew Wilfords, he was openly gay since he was 16 years old. His parents were fine with it. His family was fine with it. He decides when he's 29 years old that he wants to join the military. His family is just like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? Like, why would you do that? And he's like, well, I want to. It's something, it's, you know, camaraderie, companionship, something I want to experience. And his family was all for it, everything he did. As he joined the military, his family noticed he began to walk, talk, and act more like a straight man would, you know.
Overly masculine?
Yes, like his RoboCop tone in his voice. And, like, they were just like, oh, my God, this is a little odd. And, you know, his family made sure that when they found out that their son had been killed in battle, the first thing that they checked on was to make sure that it wasn't a, like, behind the sheds killing of the fag type of thing, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And his parents are very, very, they've got a good case for the nation as far as legalizing gay marriage and making, you know, equality, because they're very supportive. They were invited to a tea party, I guess you could call it, at the White House.
High tea at the White House.
I don't know if we should be throwing around the word tea party at this point.
Whatever. They were invited to a little tea gathering at the White House. And,
with the Mad Hatter.
With the Mad Hatter and his wife, of course. Yeah. No. And the family declined because their son was gay and their son did not have full rights in his country that he died for.
Because Don't Ask, Don't Tell hadn't been repealed yet?
No, it had been repealed, but just the fact that their son did not have 100% rights in his country for what he believed in. Mm-hmm. The fact that he died for his country.
And he didn't have all the rights of, like, you know, a typical straight person, marriage, seeing people in the hospital.
Yes. These parents are willing to take their battle to the Supreme Court if it's necessary. They said denying gays the right to marry is discrimination against a group to which their son belonged. And that's the message that they want to give to the Obama administration, is that their son gave his life for the country, and he didn't have full rights as a citizen born in America because he was gay. Like, the one thing that he doesn't want to be, his family does not want him to be remembered as the gay soldier. They want him to be remembered as the great soldier who happened to be gay.
And I think that's really important. I mean, I've also noticed that some people, yes, being queer anywhere along the spectrum is definitely a part of your identity, but it's important to not be, oh, the gay chick, that gay guy. Oh, you know the gay guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, be the person with that winning smile and, you know, a love of literature and Chinese food, and who happens to also suck a lot of dick, you know?
Exactly. No, I like that. And I mean, to any and all of our listeners, if you have any comments or questions about anything we've talked about so far, please feel free to call in. Our number is 617-606-4122. I think it's pretty cool. The family invited Lady Gaga, who is an active gay rights activist, like very active in the community, to a same-sex marriage polka in Minnesota. And I think that's
there's lots of Polish people out there.
I think that's so cool, though. They reached out to Lady Gaga. They turned down friggin' the president's wife and the president to, you know, make a statement and
poke it up with the Gaga.
Yeah, word. Like, that's what I'm talking about, really. Like,
well, that's because she's like balls out when it comes to her support of the LGBT community. She doesn't really give a fuck.
I love that about her.
Who thinks, you know, the better or the worse of her for it? And that's something that government officials historically have not done and perhaps are not able to do for the reasons that we discussed earlier in the program. But I think that these kinds of stories are very important to share, again, because they bring a human face to these huge issues, but especially because our opposition on the Republican side, they're very, very, very pro-troops. They're very proud of our troops, and they do a lot to support them. And telling a story like this about another American who gave his life to support the country, which is something that they really admire, and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think he would have been better off being himself, being this country or another country, but...
Well, the point is that he gave his life for a country that did not have his back while he was alive.
Yes, I posted on the Three Strange Women Facebook page, I posted a link to the article that I'm speaking about. I also posted Barack Obama's speech video, but the link I'm speaking about, it says in the article that the parents were very on top of him about, like, saying, you know, are you okay with being gay over there? Like, how's that going for you? And stuff like that. And his response was immediately, everyone knows I'm gay. No one cares.
Really? Because,
yes.
I mean, it's interesting that he made the decision or for some reason felt the need to change his gender presentation. You know
yes,
what I
because
mean?
It's not he's not allowed to be who he is as far as if he had a partner.
But he says that no one cares. So if no one really cared, then he would have just been himself.
No, that's not true. When you're going into the military, you have to bring a certain mindset with you. You can't.
I think it's dumb. I think you should be yourself, and you should wear short shorts and glitter and beads and give people hugs and not be a stern fucking asshole wearing a uniform. No one likes uniforms anyway, unless it's a Halloween costume.
I love what Eddie Izzard, one of my favorite stand-up comedians who did drag for many years, said about gays in the military. You know, being part of an army, that's all about the element of surprise, right? And what would be more surprising than like the 1st Battalion Transvestite Brigade, you know, on the front lines?
Exactly.
You would definitely win. I mean, I don't know.
Shock value would win alone.
Definitely.
You'd distract the other opposing nation or whatever the fuck we're fighting for.
I don't know if I like what you're saying about the military having to have a certain mindset, certain
I'm not
way to
saying
present
it.
Themselves. That's very like heteronormative. I hate to throw around
that's
that word.
That's the issue. That is the whole issue in the first place. Like, you are not allowed to go into the military being gay until now. Now they've just repealed it. They didn't even take away don't ask, don't tell yet. They're repealing it.
Now we're talking about sort of
the hetero's attitude. Yeah, he had to do that because he has no choice.
That's really sad. I mean, I think
that's how he felt.
I think it would be really important to, I mean, the thing is, he made the choice to join the military. He made the choice to act like a square. I mean, personally, I think the military shouldn't exist because it de-emphasizes the beauty of each individual person, and that's what we're all about. But
well, it's necessary in the context of being a soldier to sort of erase yourself and become robotic because you have to do
you have to unify in
you
order
have to
do
terrible
it
terrible things.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, you get a military person, they couldn't do it alone. There has to be the crowd mentality, which I mean, people cling to crowds. They people like to do that.
Hey, we've got a phone call coming in right now.
Fantastic.
Oh, wonderful.
So hold on one second. Hello, caller. You are on the air on unregularradio.com.
Is this Miss Jackie?
Yes, it is.
This is KC, the management. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Going all right. So I was listening in, and I heard, I mean, I there's a bit of a delay, so I don't know if you guys have touched on it, but hearing the phrase heteronormative in terms of, like, the actual military, there is a top-down component to being in the military, and everybody does have to kind of be the same because everybody's kind of taking the same orders. That's just the way it is now. It may change in the future, but for the time being, everyone has to be reprogrammed going in, so everyone's on the same playing field.
Right,
and it is a necessity. Without it, it's chaos. You get thousands of individuals out there thinking they know what they're doing better.
Definitely,
it puts everybody at risk. There's a real safety issue with everybody not understanding where they're coming from and the place that they're in.
Are you speaking from experience?
My family's been in the military for years and years. My mom was in the military, my dad, my stepdad, my uncles. I've been in a military family for a really, like, I mean, I grew up bouncing around the country as a military brat.
Wow.
So, I mean, seeing my cousins and my family going into training and seeing that change in them, I can empathize with what you guys are saying. And I've had gay and lesbian cousins go into the military, and just the changes that they go through personally is really brutal.
It's a very mental
thing. It's a necessary change to be in the military. It has to happen.
Yeah, to be in the military in order for it to be effective as the... It has to be a machine, so all the cogs need to be identical in order for it to work. But then again, I personally think that there should be beautiful chaos everywhere in the streets, and everyone should be a unique individual. But the thing is, real life is not the military, nor vice versa.
I completely agree.
Yeah, yeah. There's a balance that needs to be struck, and I think as a human race, much less as an American race, so to speak, we've yet to find that balance in our own personal lives, much less across the board. So I think maybe identifying with both sides is necessary.
I think that's a very astute comment to make. Absolutely. So what I want to know is, what's been your experience growing up in this military family? You said you witnessed gay and lesbian cousins being part of the military.
And great transformations.
Yes. Can you speak a little more to what that was like for them?
Well, a lot of gender identification and a lot of the identification that they had, being that I come from a really small town, was a lot of it had to do with hiding what they were and hiding the fact that they were gay. And a lot of them didn't actually come out until they got out of boot camp. Two of them, in fact. I have three gay cousins and one lesbian cousin. All of them in the military, and two of them came out after, two of them came out before. And the whole transformation process that took place generally had to do with self-discipline, and in terms of their identification, there tends to be a kind of a shotgun approach when you're younger to anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's this whole, like, I have to be this, and it's painting with a single color. And these cats, when they got out, And when they got out of boot camp and over the years, they've gotten to the point where they're surgical in terms of how they identify with their sexuality and how mm-hmm. they even discuss it with my family and how they discuss it publicly. They're very open about it to each other and to the family. And they've gotten to the point where they can shut down the political side of the conversation and shut down, like, their gender identity and just discuss the topic. Not necessarily unemotionally, but they can do it in a manner that's actually bringing the facts to the table and not painting with that broad brush of emotion. You know what I mean?
I think that's something that all of us could learn from, in fact. You know, it's difficult not to get emotional about these topics because they cut so close to the bone, but really the best way to go about
especially
them.
Especially when you identify in that manner, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Really the best way to do any kind of argument is to try to put your emotions aside and bring your intellect to the table as much as possible. Not that you cut out, the human side of the argument, because that informs the things that you say and that you're fighting for, but I think that that's really fascinating, what you've shared with us. I hope that some of your cousins call into the show sometime.
That would be marvelous. Thank you so
much. Well, I'll give them a heads up on the time and let them know how to get in touch with y'all, and hopefully if they can, they will.
That would be awesome.
We'd love to also, hear they could people. Write an open letter to us on our Facebook page if they didn't have time to call in during on Mondays. So definitely.
Yeah, I'll definitely let them know.
Thank you Sounds so great. Much.
Thank you so much.
Call.
Thank you.
Yep, no problem. Y'all have a great day.
You too.
Happy 4th.
Thanks. Yep, you too. Bye.
Bye. Awesome. That was awesome. That was so cool. We had our first caller, guys.
Hooray!
Yay. So should we go to a music break really quick?
If you guys think that's a good idea,
I think
sure.
It would be great to get some grooves.
All right.
And we will be right back on Unregular Radio.
Degenerate young rebel and I'm proud of it. Pump your fist. You would rather mess up than put up with this. I'm a nerd. I chew gum and smoke in your face. I'm absurd. I'm so bad. And I don't give a damn. I love it when you're mad. When you're mad.
Chinatown, Boston. This is UnregularRadio.com.
Welcome back to Three Strange Women on UnregularRadio.com. I'm your host, Miss Jackie, joined by Lady K and X-Rock.
Ow, ow. So it was really great to start talking about some of the issues facing the LGBT community in the military. And it's a very large issue that no doubt we'll come back to many times in the future. But no matter what you think or where you stand on these issues, today especially we wanted to remind you to support the troops. Those are our parents and cousins and friends and brothers and sisters and lovers out there putting their asses on the line for our safety and our well-being. And at the end of the day, taking care of them and giving them what they deserve is really all that matters, no matter where you stand on the issues. So if you can, on this wonderful 4th of July day, say thank you to someone you know who's helped out.
And most importantly, have a lot of fun, drink a bunch, smoke a lot of weed, be with your friends, barbecue, jump in the ocean. I mean, the city, I drove straight through it from Firefly. It's crazy. There's free food everywhere. There's vendors, there's music, and everyone's alive. So you should also enjoy the fireworks.
I can't wait for fireworks.
Don't go to the Pops. The Pops are boring.
Don't go to the Pops.
I would rather gouge my eyes out than sit through a Boston Pops concert.
Go do that then.
All right, I'm just going to sit here and pout until the symphony gets back from Tanglewood.
Good. I mean, I think there's lots of great places to see fireworks. I mean, anywhere along the river is phenomenal, and you can see multiple things going on. Yeah. You can also climb up something really, really tall and see them all, and it's going to be fantastic. I mean, it's a beautiful day. It's like hot as balls, but it's
oh, God, I'm perfect. Sweating like a whore in church.
That's always fun.
I don't sweat like a whore in church, but I didn't know whores sweated in church.
I guess you might sweat in church if you sort of felt bad about all the whoring.
But what if you don't feel bad about the whoring and you just like want to be in church to feel extra dirty?
Can I just say that... can I just say that it's always been my dream to have sex in church, preferably during a mass, a Catholic one?
I used to pull people from my CCD classes late Sunday nights and grab them to the graveyard, and we'd have crazy sex for the 2 hours of religious education that I missed all of. It was great. Maybe a little sacrilegious, but I'm okay with that.
The best of us have had graveyard sex.
And I'm the goth one here. Like, did you guys listen to Typo Negative while you did it?
Not at all.
Jesus Christ.
No, I tried not to be loud to, like, interrupt the Jesus talk.
Oh, I love being a queer person.
It's marvelous. But... yeah. Next week, we're going to definitely talk about femme identity, how awesome it is to be queer, different things that are going on after this crazy, crazy weekend. And people have Monday off for the fireworks. And yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Dude, yeah, I'm excited. I want to incorporate, hopefully for our next show, if people have gotten, a little bite interest, I want to try and work on some crazy question and answer stuff.
Yes, we would love to hear your feedback.
Seriously. Gay questions you have, send them my way.
We're hoping to incorporate a sort of straight guy question and answer session.
So please be awkward. Please be lewd. We'll love all of it.
Yes, please don't be afraid to ask us. Think of the worst possible question you could ask us. That's what we want to hear.
I like it.
Yeah.
It will be so marvelous. But this is X-Rock. Signing off for today, and I hope you all have a wonderful 4th of July.
Yes, and this is Lady K. Ciao, darlings. Go have sex in a graveyard. That sounds like fun.
It will be.
Underneath the fireworks, and then body paint and more glitter.
I like glitter.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you really need to take a bath.
I mean, I know I reek. I smell.
You don't
covered
smell.
In everything.
You're
I
just
don't
covered
smell.
In glitter.
I mean, I was in a steam hut and covered in mud. I still have mud all over me. Many different types of mud. It was...
Many
I mean,
types? Many what were you rolling around in?
Everything. Fields. I swam in a pond. It was great. It was campy. It was marvelously campy.
I never got a good explanation of camp.
I swear to God, we're going to do a show on that.
We've got like 5 minutes left, but...
That's totally not enough time.
To talk about camp.
Okay. Oh, no. It's like a whole wonderful world of glitter. Glitter and hot pants and limp wrists.
Have you guys heard of any excellent queer events happening around the area for 4th of July? Anything?
You're camping? Funny. No, seriously, you're hilarious. There's never anything going on.
There always is. You just have to find it.
Exactly.
Go to GP. Go to the Milky Way Lounge.
I've been there, actually. I went there the first time a couple weeks ago to do an interview for Dave Crespo.
How was it?
It was awesome.
Nice. Was it a good queer scene?
Yeah.
Definitely worth it?
Anytime you go to JP, it's a pretty good queer scene.
Yeah, I heard it's sort of like the lesbian ghetto.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically. Sort of like,
it's pretty gay, but
sort of like the South End is like the prissy gay male ghetto, which seems to be true based on all of the time that I spend there.
Yeah, you could totally say that it's the same for JP, except it's...
Well, then there's Somerville. Well, there's Gavis. Davis.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time in Gavis.
Oh, I do too. Diesel is fantastic.
I've been going. I remember the first time I ever went to Diesel, I took you, and you were freaking. I took Jackie, and she was freaking out because of all the gay people in there.
I freaked out.
Yeah,
really?
You totally were.
What did I say?
You were like 11. You were just really uncomfortable by all of, you know, well, all of the mullets.
Yeah, before I was, you know, openly whoever I am. Whatever.
There aren't really so many lesbians running the joint anymore. It's mostly hipsters.
It's
but
definitely
the mullets
more hipsters.
Are still, the mullets are still there.
Coffee. Ugh. Phenomenal. Oh, lots of mullets. I've been seeing mullets. That's the hot trash of fashion trend
mullets
for the summer.
Mullets need to die. Mullets
are they like
need
the new ironic
die.
Mustache or what?
I don't even give a shit.
Yeah, I think they are, but it's not working.
Kill yourselves. Just kill yourselves.
It's not working. Oh, man.
I'm beginning to think that I'm just going to do a fashion show. I'm going to do a whole segment on fashion.
Fashion?
Yes.
Okay. Gay fashion, Alexander McQueen.
May he rest in peace.
Indeed. All right, well, it's been good, peeps.
Enough of us?
I think we've had just about enough of us for one day. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it so
Indeed.
Much. This has been Three Strange Women on unregularradio.com, brought to you by... ourselves. And this has been Miss Jackie joined with X Rocks and Lady K. Tune in next week. We'll be back.